We're doing a medrash about the name Paro, where the name Paro comes. And the medrash says that it was in the days of Avram, in the land of Shinar, which was the land of Bavel. And there was a man who was a whole person, a wise person, a good-looking person, but he was a pauper. He was very poor. He was a very poor person, and he didn't have and all he had was basically his name. His name was Rikayon. Rikayon literally means emptiness. Now, he was very upset about... I'm not sure. He was very upset about the fact that he didn't have a livelihood. So he thought that he'll go to the land of Mitzrayim to the king Ashvirosh ben Anam, who was the king of Egypt at the time. And he figured he'll show the king his wisdom, and then maybe the king will find favor in the eyes of the king, and the king will help him, and he'll give him a job in the kingdom. So he heads out to Egypt, and when he comes to Egypt, he comes to Mitzrayim. He asks the people of Mitzrayim, "How could I get to the king?" And the people of Mitzrayim tell him that their custom was that the king doesn't leave his palace throughout the year. One day a year, he goes through the land, and then he goes back to his palace and he spends his life there. And the day came when the king was supposed to come out, and on that day he judged whatever cases were brought before him. And Rikyon heard how he can't come before the king until that day, and he was upset. He needs the king. So that night, this man Rikyon went to sleep. He found a broken down house from one of the bakers of Egypt, and he's hungry. He has nothing to eat. He's poor. He's come to Egypt hoping to make a living, and now he finds out that, this isn't going to work. These are in the days of Avraham Avinu. So Rikyon thinks to himself, what am I going to do until the day comes that the king lets me meet him? He's from Bavel. He's from Shinar. How am I going to support myself till that time? So Rikyon awakens in the morning, and he goes through the city, and he meets the vegetable sellers, and they tell him, "Look, we make a living. We sell vegetables. We buy them outside. We sell them over here." So Rikyon wants to do it, but he didn't know the rules. He didn't know the laws. So everything he tries to do doesn't work. So he goes to buy vegetables, and these dishonest people come and they make fun of him and they grab all his vegetables, and he finds himself without anything. Now he's tried his success and he's been robbed. So again he goes back to that broken down house, and the second night he goes to sleep and he's worse off than he was the night before. So he's thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to manage? So he thinks, and he thinks, and he wakes up in the morning and he has a plan. He hires 30 mercenaries, 30 warriors, and he sees that when he was robbed, well, there was no king to turn to, there was no real justice here in Egypt. So he decides, he has a plan, he takes 30 men, he hires them with their weapons, and he goes with them up to the graveyards of Egypt. And he has them stay there, and he tells them, here's what you guys have to do. The king sent me, and the king said that you guys have to stay by the graveyards, And any person that wants to come and bury his dead, you don't let him bury unless his family pays 200 silver coins. Now, the king never said any such thing. But being that the king doesn't show up in town except for once a year, no one would know the difference. So he has these people standing with their weapons by the graveyard. And any person that wants to come and bury their dead, they tell him, you can't bury. The king said you have to pay a tax of 200 silver coins. 8 months pass, and Rikyon's become a very wealthy man. So Rikyon has his horses, his cattle, his gold, his silver, and he hires more men, and now he has a small army with him. The day comes that the king goes through the city, and the people of Egypt gather. They're waiting for that day, and when the king comes out, they come to him and they say, save us, what's going on here? That no one could bury their dead until they give so much gold and silver. No one's ever done such a tax before. So, when the king hears this, the king gets upset. Because he hadn't known anyone was collecting the taxes, and he hadn't gotten the taxes. So he tells him, who's the person that has the chutzpah to go and collect the tax in my name, in my land, that I didn't command him? So they tell him everything about Rikyon and his men. And the king sends his men, and they bring Rikyon and his men before him. Now, Rikyon was ready for this day. He hired 1,000 children, boys and girls, and he dressed them in beautiful linen clothing, and he put them on horses. And when the king's men came, so he sent these children with his men towards the king, and he also took a lot of gold and silver and precious stones and a lot of horses. And he comes before the king and he bows before him. So the king was ready to take Rikyon and throw him into the dungeons. And here Rikyon is coming and sending him gifts. They see how wealthy he is, and they see what gifts he's sending the king. So they're all wondering what's going on here. So the king asks him, how are you doing all the things you've been doing? And Rikyon explains to the king what he's been doing, and he's a good politician. He manages to sway the king to his side. And when the king sees how wise he is, so the king and his men, they take a liking to Rikyon, and the king decides, you know what, this is an intelligent person, I want him to be with my men. And he tells him, from this day on, I want you to change your name from Rikyon to Pharaoh, because you were Porea, you collected taxes, Porea Misim, you collected taxes that no one instituted, and you collected taxes from the dead, really. So from now on, your name is going to be Paro, the one who collected the taxes. And that's where the name Paro began. This Rikyon was the first Paro. Now, he isn't king yet. Yeah. Could be. I don't know. This story, the story we're translating as we read, appears in Otsar Midrashim. There was a collection. Rabbi Eisenstein collected all kinds of far-out Midrashim. And this is one of the Midrashim. So whether the Midrash is telling us a story that factually happened, or the Midrash is telling us some kind of story that has a message, I don't know. So they changed his name to Paro, and the king and his servants liked Rikyon, now known as Paro, a lot, and they decide that he's going to take the throne after the king. And this they give a ruling in Egypt that this man is taking the throne after him. And when Ashvirosh, the king of when he passed away, so Rikyon, Paro, became king. Now, they also had this deal that, being that Ashvirosh only wanted to go through the city once a year, the rest of the year, Paro would be the one representing justice in the city. So 364 days, he's the king in essence. And one day a year, Ashvirosh goes out and he judges the land. So using his wisdom, this man who came to Egypt almost penniless came and took the throne, and that's why he was given the name Paro. And from him the dynasty of the pharaohs continues, and he wrote all kinds of laws that that remained laws in Egypt, and that's why his name became the name that from that day on the Egyptian kings were called Paro. That's what the Medrash in Otzar Midrashim, that's what the Medrash says.
Wow, that's a pretty good story.
Okay.